few minutes in front of 3 o'clock on a live imaging Tuesday, Mason in Ireland. Also, MLB trade deadline. Yeah. What do we got? 3 minutes? 2.5?
We have exactly 20.
2.5.
2 and 20 seconds, yeah.
So when you went to break there, now unfortunately we don't have the tape, we can't turn it around, but you locked out, as we call it in the business.
Yeah.
You said you're listening to the ESPN LA Lakers Radio Network. Are you just warming up for the season?
Yeah, what happened, man? Did you know?
Did
you
I
said
really?
That?
You
no.
did.
Yeah,
go,
no, just.
2 minutes. Give me 2 minutes. I'll put
it.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Amanda. Boston good. Amanda okay, Brown so that is a.
He just popped in.
That is a reminder that on October 3rd, the Lakers are back on ESPN LA, but it was a completely unintentional. Hey, Bergman, is this something? Yankees are trading Jordan Montgomery to the Cardinals for Harrison Bader. Harrison Bader's not terrible, is he?
No, he's not terrible. It's, you know, it's just a move that's going to help each one of them. One's going to get an outfielder. The other's going to get a pitcher. Yeah, that's fine.
All right, so all these things are coming in.
That was a no on the, is that something, by the way.
Pretty much.
I'm not here for the sports. I'm here
I was
going to
say,
so,
I have other non-sports.
Yeah, well, you guys have been having
about.
This debate online, you and Bergman and Sedano, with some guy Shinano. That's mad at us for not talking more sports.
Oh, yeah, that was yesterday.
No, so, he's back today.
Oh, he's back?
Yeah, he's back.
What did he
coming.
Have to say today?
That he just wants all sports all the time, which I know is the opposite of what you want.
Well, I think
you want to mix it up.
There's a healthy medium. Yeah. But listen, yesterday
thanks
was interesting.
What now?
Right. He said, thanks for listening, fool.
Yeah, exactly. Yesterday was interesting because while we all sort of had a mental recharge day, I had to do a lot of work, not on air, but behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
But this guy was going off on Twitter. The amazing thing is yesterday, instead of recharging, corporate Greg mm-hmm. was on Twitter nonstop, responding to everybody out there, which I do appreciate because some people were confused.
Yeah.
But then Sedano and I had to jump in and you know, help him out.
I responded to that tweet too.
All right, so Syndergaard gone. He's going to the Phillies. Juan Soto's coming to the Padres. There are 30 seconds to go in the trade deadline. I don't think, Clinton,
yeah.
that there is any other giant bomb about to go off.
No.
But it appears that so Soto will be the biggest name to move. Otani did not move. And I think if you were going to pick a big winner today, it would be the Padres. They were able to get Soto. They were able to get Josh Bell. They were able to get Josh Hader. I think more than any team, they improved. You know, they went from 22-1 to make it to the World Series to 8-1
Is that
today?
So? Yeah. I mean,
you know, just in one day.
I think the Padres, you know, like there's a lot of people that are like, oh, the Padres are trying to be like the Dodgers, this, that, and third. Yeah, they're trying to win the World Series. That's what's actually happening. And they're giving it a pretty good effort, I would say. Padres are an exciting team right now. I think that with the addition of Soto, obviously they've got a 2, 3, 4, 5. Hold on, let me. If you looked at the Pod's potential lineup, Profar, one. So let's see. Who do you bat two in that situation, Greg?
Greg, well, they may.
Soto probably bats three. Tatis is second.
Yeah, I think you go.
What do you go? Who's your cleanup hitter is basically what the question is there. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you have it
do
as.
Do you hit Machado cleanup do or do you move him
right.
up to, like, second?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
That's a very good question.
You know, and that's a great problem to have if you are.
Yeah, I think if you're the Padres, you want to hit those guys 2, 3, 4 because you don't have anybody else that's gonna, you know, get on base so often that you could hit them 3, 4, 5.
I would agree with that, you know, but it's not easy, and it's not a bad problem to have.
Yeah, wow, that's interesting. All right, so it is now officially over. The Major League Baseball deadline is coming.
That doesn't mean things won't be announced, I feel like.
Pencils down, Clinton.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. But I think once some results come in, we'll probably get news here for the next half an hour or so.
That's what normally happens, is these tend to trickle in. But so far, Padres are the big winners. Yankees got some guys. Dodgers only make really – they send two guys out that were playing a lot. And, you know, I wonder – I'm trying to think. Jake Lamb is gone. He's been traded to Seattle. Mitch White is gone. They replace Lamb with Joey Gallo. I guess White's just going to be replaced by one of the guys like Dustin May, Blake Treinen, Walker Buehler, one of the guys coming off the injured list.
I think that's fair.
Is about the best we can
Who did they get back for him?
We can tell.
For Mitch White?
Yeah.
They just got minor league pitchers. They didn't say who it was.
Okay.
And I wouldn't know who they were anyway.
Right, gotcha. They're no names. Obviously nobody big or not no. just cash.
Okay. The Royals have traded Whit Merrifield, who is a very good outfielder.
He's an extremely good outfielder.
But they haven't said where he's going.
He's going to Toronto. Ah. He's going to the Jays.
Oh. Interesting.
So
the Jays, by the way, amongst the non-elite teams, so to speak, they're right there. The Jays, you could see the Jays make a run in October for sure. For sure. It would not be completely out of the question for the Jays to make the World Series, in my opinion.
But if you're the Angels, why are you trading any pitching?
I don't know.
You don't have any pitching.
Yes. He was only on a one-year deal.
The logic, yeah. The logic of their front office at this point is beyond me.
Which is why you trade Ohtani.
Yeah, but that's exactly why I wouldn't, because that guy's pretty good. If I'm in Anaheim, if I'm in OC, and I know that this is a loser team, but I've got one guy that plays every day. Reminder, let me finish this sentence, Greg, because that guy that you're talking about does not play every day. I'm keeping that guy for no other reason than to respect my fans.
And he'll just walk away. It's okay.
That's fine. Yes, because you've got 3 years of the best thing going in baseball, and you're not doing anything otherwise anyway.
Yeah, we're waiting to see if any more trades roll in. The trade deadline ended 3 minutes ago. So sometimes what happens is these trades take time to get revealed.
Is that enough sports talk for you, guy?
Here's something that's not sports related that I wanted to ask you about. Did you guys see this? A company has created a ring that you would wear on your finger that is a tap-to-pay ring, so you wouldn't have to carry your phone or your wallet.
I've said this for years. If they could put a chip in my wrist so that I didn't have to carry a wallet, I would do it in a second.
But aren't you still always going to have your phone?
Sure, maybe, but like...
So tap-to-pay with your phone.
The phone is... That's a different matter. You know what I'm saying? The phone doesn't have my ID on it. The phone doesn't have... I mean, the phone tap thing is...
You could put your ID in your phone.
I guess that's true, but it's not really the same thing. But the phone... I'd bypass the phone, too, if I could. You know what I'm saying? If I could do all this stuff with just a... wave my hand, Ben Kenobi style, that'd be awesome.
Here, Bergman, a ring where you could tap to pay. Is that a hit or a miss?
Nah, that's a miss. I can do all that stuff from my phone already.
And it's not like you're going to leave your phone behind. Everybody already, for example, here in our building, we need our phone to get in the building. It's tied to access here. So you always have to have it.
I'd love to go retinal scan on everything. That'd be great. Just look me in the eyes and I'm walking out of here with it.
Are you Mason, like reincarnated? I don't need things in my eyes. That's enough.
Yeah, and Mason says he wants to put a chip in his brain.
That's a little much for me. I'd go in the bloodstream.
Here's the
bloodstream.
Bergman, you just mentioned that Whit Merrifield, who's a really good outfielder in Kansas City.
He's been injured
is being traded to Toronto. Ever since he's been in Kansas City, he's come out and said he's not vaccinated. To play in Toronto, you have to get vaccinated. So that's something that would have to be negotiated up front, right? There's no way Toronto's picking him up if he's not getting vaccinated, are they?
Because then he wouldn't be able to play at home. So that doesn't exactly work. That's a good point. I forgot about all those guys in the Royals who did that as like a blood pact or whatever. They had like 13 of the 40 guys in the league that weren't vaccinated or whatever. Weird bit, but
yeah. So I would think if he's being traded there, he's going to have to take the shot.
This is a funny tweet. Nice of the Blue Jays to give Whit Merrifield a shot. Ba-dum-bum. Okay. All right. Shouts to J.A. Taylor, my boy. He covers baseball. He's a good guy.
That's interesting that he's now going to – I would think he has to.
Yeah. I would presume that he has had a change of heart now that he is on a good team. Because that was also the team that said, maybe this would be different if we were actually contending. The actual Royals front office said that about their players and their vaccination status, which was awful if you're a Royals fan. But at least they're telling the truth.
You know, very quietly, the Padres just picked up another bat.
It's a great pickup by them.
Brandon Drury, he's not bad.
No, Drury can play.
He's in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And the Reds just fire sale every year.
Well, the Reds, bro, you're talking about a team that is destroying their fan base from the inside, Greg. You'd think the Halos or something.
He's hit 20 home runs, Clinton, in 92 games.
Yeah.
With a 128 OPS plus. He's good. And the Padres are, I mean.
Good.
They're the Monstars now.
Yeah. They're doing what they should have done. You know, they're acting like a Major League Baseball team. You know, you can't be mad at that. And for all these Dodger fans who seem to think that the Padres trying to compete is some sort of insult to their existence, if you're that good, you wouldn't be worried about it, and that makes the team better in the division. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe getting a little heat on your team helps the Dodgers when it comes to the postseason, Greg. You don't necessarily want to be cruising in to September thinking you got everything together if you don't.
I have no problem with what the Padres are doing. Also, what it shows is that small market teams can do this. San Diego's very much a small market. So all of those other MLB teams that are in the tiny markets that they say they can't do, look at Tampa Bay, look at San Diego, that are going to be players for the next couple of years or even for much longer than that. You can do this other places. So all these people that say, oh, the Dodgers and the Yankees are just these big market teams that spend and spend and spend. Well, look at what the Padres are doing. Look what the Rays are doing. It's totally fine.
Do the Dodgers get back to San Diego this year?
They actually haven't played.
No, they play this weekend.
Yeah.
No, in Sunday Night Baseball.
In San Diego?
I think so. Greg, look that up, but I know they play this weekend. They're at 7 o'clock Sunday night.
Oh, man. I want to go to that game. I was going to say, we should take a trip down there, Greg, and go hang out with Cappy and go to a Dodgers-Padres game.
That would be very fun.
The Dodgers acquire minor league pitchers Nick Frasso and Moises Brito for Mitch White. So two minor leaguers for White.
Yeah, those are non-guys. Yeah.
Huh. Frasso's from Torrance. So he's a local kid.
Shouts to Torrance. That's where we went to do our batting practice before the ESPN 710 softball
game. But boy, I'm really
Dodgers-Padres here in L.A.
I thought that game was here. So when's the next time the Dodgers get to San Diego, Greg?
I'll have to look it up.
Look it up and call Cappy, and we should go down there and watch a game.
That's an unbelievable ballpark.
It's pretty great. I mean, the best part about the ballpark is the neighborhood around the ballpark.
Yeah, Gaslamp Quarter.
Like, you know, the ballpark is great, but they've got one of the best setups in the country for, you know, like Wrigleyville and all that kind of stuff. You know, like, it doesn't get much better than San Diego's.
September 9th, 10th, and 11th, we have our golf tournament on the 9th.
Okay.
Wilson Contreras and Ian Happ, both expected to be traded by the Cubs, were not traded. They're going to stay. So not everybody who we thought would move is moving. The trade deadline just passed 9 minutes ago. So I would think that anybody that would have been traded, we would have heard of now. But Brandon Walsh gone from the Angels. Noah Syndergaard gone from the Angels. Mitch White gone from
the Dodgers.
Yeah. Boy, I can't believe I said Lakers radio.
Can we talk about that?
Where did that come from?
You didn't even, like, that was.
I'm trying to watch trades, and I think I just went on autopilot.
So here's how it all went down. Go ahead.
Back with it after this on the ESPN LA Lakers radio network. Yeah, that was just me, like, reverting to somewhere else in my brain.
That was so random, because normally, for those of you who aren't watching on the stream, typically when it gets to the end of the segment, I get up and I walk to the other side. I got up and walked to the other side and heard Lakers radio network.
What the hell?
Like, what are we doing today? That was funny. That was very funny.
Yeah, that's weird.
Okay, so look, Greg, I have a separate, while you're still reading through, reviewing, I have a separate question I want to ask you about what happened this weekend, Greg.
Okay.
And what you would do in the situation.
Okay.
So when this date ended, we went to another location.
Clinton went to the Rose Bowl this weekend. It was a mini disaster.
No, it wasn't a mini disaster. It was just the Amazing Race. That's the best way to put it.
Okay.
And so upon leaving the Uber, she left her phone in the Uber.
That was a mistake.
This is a good one.
So the two of you are leaving
playing,
it together.
He's playing You Don't Know My Name. Anyway, so and we're going into the place. And at some point, she realizes, I don't have my phone. At that point, Greg, would you have done what I did, which was F the phone, we'll figure it out later, or would you have gone into immediate – that's not actually what I did. What I did was I sent a text to the phone to tell the Uber driver, if you get this, call me tomorrow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you can find out who drove it.
What would you have – would you have gone into immediate – like if it had happened to you – would
like
you have
me
gone
personally?
Into, yeah, if you had left your phone in an Uber in a situation like this, would you have gone into panic mode? Or would you have, let's just say, completed the deal?
No. Well, oh, see. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yes.
Well,
wait. there are some decisions
so
to be
if
made.
If that decision is made, I complete the deal and then try and figure everything out. But my life is in my phone.
That's what I'm saying. And, like, I give this person a lot of credit. She was
and
like,
the answer is always complete the deal.
I'll just find it tomorrow.
That's right.
I was like, all right. You know, so I was pretty impressed at it. That was pretty big.
Now, wait a minute. How can you get a hold of the – oh, you ordered the Uber?
No, she had ordered the Uber.
So how did she have the Uber driver – how did you have the Uber driver's info?
I texted the phone and was like, yo, if you get this, email back. Or because you can also check your text messages on your computer if you have a Mac because, you know, they're
synced
up. And the guy texted back just the exact number that he was on, which was pretty smart.
Angels just traded Raisel Iglesias to the Braves.
It's a good pickup for them.
For Jesse Chavez and Tucker Davidson. Okay.
Back end of the bullpen help. That is a very nice deal by them.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, and Iglesias is pretty good, and he's not all that expensive. $16 million. Well, that's pretty expensive, come to think of it. $16 million if the Braves taking the remainder of his contract.
Right.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. Okay, we'll wrap up the trade deadline. It ended 12 minutes ago. By the way, we have Game of Games coming up this hour. It's my game today. And Greg, nobody in the core show has any points yet, right? Didn't Laura win once?
Laura won one. I think Beto won one, right?
Yeah, so it's going to be maybe Clinton wins today and keeps the streak alive.
Perhaps. Yeah.
Maybe nobody in the core show wins the 10K for this month.
Yeah, that'd be a first. By the way, have you ever done an interview, I'll ask this to Clinton when we come back, that you wish you could take back? Somebody in our world did that this weekend. We'll share it with you next. Mason in Ireland, not on the ESPN LA Lakers radio network.
Peanut butter cups.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Live Imaging Tuesday, Mason in Ireland. We are about 40 minutes away from Super Crosstalk. Shinano is rumored to appear for Super Crosstalk.
Really? He's back this week.
Well, not really. He's got to stay home because there's a
thing. So he's not coming to the dinner?
No. I don't know if he'll be at the dinner.
I was told.
But see, here's the thing. There's a health thing going on.
Okay.
We all know what it is, but it's not my place to talk about it within the family.
Health and safety protocol issue?
Okay. So he's going to appear on the show. He's going to try to make Super Crosstalk. The great Brian Kamenetsky will be here with Cappy. But that just came out of nowhere. Sedano was going to be here, my boy.
Yeah.
You and I are new besties, but him and I are BFFs.
Old school.
But this isn't the disrespect that Mason is giving to the family. You got the Godfather theme, Jorge? What Mason is doing tonight is disrespecting the family.
He claims that nothing, including the corporate dinner, takes precedence over his vacation.
But this isn't a corporate
nothing
dinner.
In the world, nor, Chris, takes precedent over his vacation.
But we're not
is
having,
he on vacation or is he just at his house?
We're not having dinner with middle managers from the Walt Disney Company.
He doesn't care.
These are the owners of the radio station.
Yeah. He would say, because as you know, Mace likes to make things about Mace, he said, then don't put it on a night when I'm on vacation.
But literally.
10 months out of the year, he takes vacation.
There were 400 emails between Amanda and all of us trying to figure out the date. Corporate Greg was on those. This was like the only day that could potentially work in the month of August.
What's interesting about that is that last week we pointed out to Mason that he was missing the dinner and he had no idea. He just goes,
he
really?
Knew he was going.
Really? That's that night? Well, I'm not going.
Wow.
Chris, nothing will stand between Steve Mason and a day off. You know this.
It's disrespect to the family. I'll leave it there.
Listen,
I mean, you walk around with a consignment.
Don't ever tell anyone what you're thinking.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, this is very different. Any reason to drop that, apparently.
Of course.
Sidebar, have you seen the news that they're going to remake, what's it called? Roadhouse?
Roadhouse?
Yes, with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, really? Come on.
Yeah. They're trying to go for the Top Gun.
I watched the original Roadhouse like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
You cannot. This is a bad idea.
Did you go and kick somebody in the face with a cowboy boot?
But Sam Elliott and Patrick Swayze are irreplaceable.
That is true.
So I think you can remake Roadhouse. You just can't remake it with a famous person for Swayze. You've got to break somebody new in.
You know what that means. That eventually they'll remake Ghost.
Yes,
and then the bit will never die.
Yes, that's what we were getting at.
Meanwhile, speaking of never dying, Mason and Ireland continue. I'm sorry.
All right.
Right now.
Hey, Clinton, have you ever done – you've done a lot of interviews in your career.
Yes.
You ever done an interview you wish you could take back?
Yes. One time I interviewed Ronnie Belliard because I was obsessed with him, and I thought he had a crazy
swing.
The
baseball player in Atlanta?
Baseball player. He played for the Nats for a couple seasons,
okay.
And I thought he was nuts, and I just loved his swing. And I went and interviewed him. His English was terrible, and it was no fun. So, and he did not like me at all. So that's the one
so
I
So it just didn't work. So Dan Le Batard, who used to be on our air here, we used to do a show, and Dan left ESPN a few years ago, says he regrets a combative interview he did with Michelle Tafoya. It got very political. It was awkward for all sides. And it got me to thinking. We used to do a lot more interviews than we do now. But
yeah. Now that Greg's here.
Yeah, right. But Greg was here for a lot of bad interviews that
exactly.
like the one that pops into my head was Yasmani Grandal.
Awful.
Like gave us nothing but one word answers.
So let me ask you this. How did you go about that? Because there's a world in which
we ejected
there's
early.
So you ejected. There's a world in which bad interviews can be saved by doing ridiculous things. Like if somebody's giving me one word answers, I'm going straight to some off board yes or no question, which is, you know, left Twix or right Twix. If they're only going to do that, you know what I'm saying? Like just make them go to it. You got out of it though early.
Yeah, we just bailed.
That's
he wasn't giving us anything.
So
I did an interview once. Mason and I did an interview once with Jerry Krause, the late Jerry Krause,
yeah.
Used to be the general manager of the Bulls, and he wouldn't take us off of his speaker phone.
Okay.
And we asked him to. Jerry, we're having trouble hearing. Do you mind picking the phone? He goes, yes, I do mind. And he hung.
Ha! How about that?
And
that guy was a really nice guy.
But then, you know, later, all these Chicago Bulls guys came to the Lakers when Phil Jackson was hired as a coach, and they said that was par for the course.
No, I know.
Jerry
was
a crank.
Being facetious. That guy was a total jerk who thought that. What did he say?
Organization. Players don't win championships. Yeah. Organizations do.
Exactly, man.
And Michael Jordan never let him forget it. Because the Bulls obviously could never have won any titles without Jordan.
That was the single funniest thing I thought about The Last Dance was real-time footage of Jordan insulting Krause to his face in front of the team.
Well, or Krause would get on the bus and sit in the front, and Jordan would just heckle him from the back of the bus.
I was like, man, that's awesome. Like, I mean, listen, Michael Jordan's fine by me. I'm not some mega fan, but, like, that made me like Michael Jordan a lot more, the fact that he was sticking it to that dude all the time.
Hey, by the way, you know, we were talking earlier about the great Bill Russell.
Mm-hmm.
The worst Bill Russell can be in an all-time ranking, the worst he can be is 5, right?
I guess. I don't really get into that stuff, but to me, I don't know a player who of his era, there's nobody. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
So, like, it's hard to compare eras.
He's had 11 rings.
That's what I'm saying. He's got more rings than fingers and just an awesome dude. He's a Hall of Fame human, never mind a Hall of Fame basketball player and all-time great.
Yeah, but it just seems that, you know.
Would you retire his number?
Okay, so what you're asking is, there are only two players in all of sports whose number is across the board retired. I thought there was only one, but there are two. Mm-hmm. One's Jackie Robinson. You know the other one?
I do not.
Greg, do you?
Isn't it, I'm blanking. No.
It's 99 in hockey. You can't wear Wayne Gretzky's number in hockey.
I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's been retired.
When did that happen?
I don't know. But I looked it up, and those are the two. And you're right, Clinton. I don't remember that ever happening. You'd have to have an incredible amount of guts to try and wear 99.
Apparently,
he was retired league-wide
in
2000.
Yeah.
Huh. So that's it. And so what you're saying is, should they retire the number 6 universally?
Right.
I would have no issue with it if they did it, because Bill Russell was that big of a deal. But they've already named the MVP Finals trophy after him, and
that
kind of works. I'm trying to think if there's anybody – like LeBron is now wearing number 6, right? He's not wearing 23 anymore. He's wearing 6.
I think he's wearing 6.
Well, there's 23. Maybe he didn't do it yet.
He's wearing 6. He wore
the
6
LeBron cutout in this studio is him wearing 23.
Yeah, I know he wanted to move off it to give it to AD, because AD used to wear 23 in New Orleans.
Oh, that's why
you did
that?
AD said, no, I like 3, because he won a title in the year that he won 3.
Right.
But I would have no issue if they did it for Bill Russell, but at the same time, I don't think it's moral necessity.
No,
yeah.
I totally agree. It's not that big a deal to me.
It just doesn't seem like.
I would go to, and this is probably just because I visited the Jackie Robinson Museum, I would go to a Bill Russell Museum in Boston, for sure. Or probably, you know what, actually in San Francisco, to be quite honest, where he's got a little different, let's just say he's got a little better relationship with the city.
Hey, do you play Madden?
No, I don't.
Greg, do you?
I used to.
No. Yeah, I used to. I have not played in a long time.
I can't keep up with these
kids.
It's
too hard,
kids
man.
Are too good. Yeah.
Yeah.
The football is so complicated.
All right, so explain to me where this comes from. Madden created a Madden hotline. Okay. So in case people had questions or comments about Madden, they could call in. EA Sports, who makes the game, did this.
Mm-hmm.
It debuted last Thursday. It turned into basically a complaint line. Madden NFL 23 released its ratings in July. Four players had a 99 rating, the top in the game. You guys want to guess who they were? Who the four were?
Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald won.
Brady?
No. Brady was a 97. Okay, so I'll tell you, I'll give you the positions.
Okay.
Aaron Donald, there's one receiver, there's a defensive end, and a left tackle.
So the receiver, Devontae Adams?
Correct. The defensive end?
Aaron Donald. We already did that.
He's the defensive tackle.
That's a defensive end.
Plays in the AFC. Freak athlete.
Joey Bosa?
No, it's Miles Garrett. Of the Browns, and then the left tackle was Trent Williams of the Niners. Brady had a 97. Aaron Rodgers had a 96. So what this lane turned into, Clinton, was they received 1,000 calls the first day of operation, and it was all people bitching about player ratings. This guy should be higher. This guy should be lower.
Don't they change?
Yeah. What?
I don't know. I have
What's
no idea.
The big deal?
I have no idea.
If Tom Brady is a 97 or a 98, what difference does it make?
This is not my ministry because I don't play video games like that, but I know players get really excited about those ratings, and they for whatever reason, make a news cycle day every single year, and it's the strangest thing to me. Very odd.
1,000 calls in the
also,
first
who's calling
day.
Phone lines these days? Like, what a weird thing.
Yeah, that is weird.
I don't understand why they even had that.
And I would imagine the line is still open and still taking calls.
All right, call it right now.
Somebody finally won that Mega Millions. I'm going to ask you a question about that when we come back.
This ain't Yacht Rock.
Wow.
Sade is not Yacht Rock.
Sade is definitely not Yacht Rock. No. Sade is what my mom listens to when she cleans the house.
This was 80s makeout music, for those of you who are old enough.
Okay. Speaking of making out, Scott Kaplan is in the building.
Yeah.
Shidano and Cap.
Yeah,
it's coming up at 4 o'clock, but first, 3:55, Supercross Talk, about 25 minutes away. Don't forget, Mason and Ireland, if Mason returns, will be live at UC Irvine tomorrow for Rams training camp.
Yeah, I don't think he'll miss a chance to play catch with Matthew Stafford, or if he, as he says, have a catch.
Yeah, but do you think that will really happen?
No, that will not happen. I doubt he could even have a catch with me. He's the most uncoordinated athlete in the history of sports.
Does he know how to throw a football?
How great would it be if Matthew Stafford does? He just lobs it at him.
Drills him in the face.
Ball hits him right in the face.
I wouldn't put it past him.
That is pretty high on the probability scale right there.
I love that.
Hey, all right, honest answer, you guys. Did you buy a lottery ticket?
No.
Clinton? Yeah, I bought $20 worth of tickets Friday.
Jorge, how many tickets did you buy?
$100 worth.
And we didn't win squat. And the reason we didn't win squat is because the second largest Mega Millions jackpot ended on Friday night with a single ticket sold in the Chicago area worth a whopping $1.3 billion. Now, the winning ticket was purchased at a Speedway gas station in DePlains, Illinois, a 20-minute drive northwest of Chicago.
Okay.
They have not heard from the winner yet. They don't know even if the winner knows that he won. So they're encouraging everybody to check their tickets. Now, you can choose to take a lump sum cash option. It'd be a one-time payment of $780 million, or you get all of the $1.3 billion spread out over an initial payment and then 29 annual payments. Chris, what are you doing? Lump sum, $780 million, all the $1.3 billion.
I think $780 is hard to spend. Like, to get through it all, you'd have to really be irresponsible to do that. I would take lump.
I think I could handle it. Like, yeah.
Because here's the thing. I could put some money on the street, so to speak. You know what I mean?
I don't know if I'm going to be around for 29 more
years.
You
probably clear about $400 million there, right? After taxes?
Yeah.
That's not Fantasy Island. That's Dynasty.
Okay.
That's the lifestyle of the Richard
could have, if you could have picked numbers, okay?
Welcome. Does anybody do a good Robin Leach over here?
All right. You get five numbers and a mega ball. Give me the numbers you would have picked.
I have no idea. It's computer pick for me all the way. I'm not one of
these weirdos. Chris, what numbers would you have gone with?
Yeah. How many numbers do I get?
Five. Okay. And a mega ball. So six total.
77.
Okay.
21.
Murison.
Okay.
55.
Clemente.
Okay.
Paul Coffey.
23.
Okay.
LeBron.
0-1.
Okay. And one mega ball.
Can I go eight, like make it an eight ball?
Sure. You, my friend.
Well played.
0-for-6.
Damn it.
Darn.
13, 36, 45, 57.
36.
Rod. 67.
Hold on. Start over.
13.
13. Who we got? Marino.
Wilt.
Okay.
All right. 36.
Jerome Bettis.
Same one I was thinking.
Okay.
45. Michael Jordan for about 2 weeks.
Coming back. We're in the 4-5.
57. You know what I think of?
Carl Mecklenburg.
No, I think of Tom Jackson.
Oh,
same
yeah.
team.
I was thinking, okay, Mecklenburg might have worn 77.
ESPN.
Okay.
67. I think of a guy I went to UCLA with, Duval Love.
Did Joe Jacoby wear 67?
That's deep UCLA knowledge there, John.
We also went on to play with the Rams for several years.
Right. Very well.
And the Mega Ball, 14.
Who
Ken Anderson?
14, yeah. Did Boone wear 14? Boone wore 13 for the Yankees. Can't remember.
Didn't A-Rod wear 13 for the Yankees?
He might have.
Yeah.
Do you know why we were playing the Fantasy Island theme song there?
The plane?
Yeah, but do you know why?
No.
What city was this in?
I don't remember.
You just read it.
Chicago?
Yeah, but where in Illinois?
I don't know.
The plane,
Illinois.
You really got to go around for
I mean, that
one.
Listen,
that
whoa, whoa, whoa.
No, I like that. I like
guess
it.
What? It's 3:30 on MLB trade deadline day in the heart of August.
Yeah. DESPLAINES. The plane.
See?
The plane.
I told you John would like it.
I did.
Wow. Yeah. That took a while.
Somebody, Chris, you would have liked this. Somebody sent me last week. From like the early 70s, an ABC TV promo.
Ernie Anderson?
No. Oh. They were singing, and it was everybody. It was Ricardo Montalban. It was Hervé Villachez.
The smooth Corinthian leather.
Yeah. It was, Joyce DeWitt.
Oh.
It was all the people from the Love Boat.
Yeah. So here's what we should do. We should shoot.
Have some smooth Corinthian leather?
We should shoot one of those like action news team style promos for the station.
Okay.
That's what we should do, where it's like one person's jumping out of a helicopter, the other person's like popping around the corner with a thing, somebody else has got some goofy bit. We should do one of those for the station.
Yeah, you're directed. Let's do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I can come up with this. You're the video guy. Hey, listen, let's not sleep on this. I saw you at a party this weekend as well where you were directing very well.
Right. Well, he's got
a 360 cam.
He's got one of those businesses now with the spinner thing.
That's what I'm saying.
You spin around and around and around.
I was your first subject.
Exactly.
And so you want to know something. Little piece of advice here for you, Greg. If you ever get to use the bubble gun, use it first because the bubble
Chris,
stuff runs out
here
quickly.
Here we go.
What is that? Oh,
nice. Take a look at this.
Oh, that's nice. Joyce DeWitt.
Yeah, this is all the people from the. How many people can you ID in that and promo? There's Kathy Lee Crosby and John
Who's
Davidson.
This young? Who's the kid?
From That's Incredible.
Yeah, there's John. Yeah.
And that was run in about 1972. There's Hal Linden from Barney Miller.
Wow.
A young Tom Hanks from Bosom Buddies.
Oh, what's his name?
Benson.
Benson, there he is.
There's Mr. C,
yeah.
Tom Bosley. With Al from Happy Days.
Wow.
Yeah.
We need to do this, too.
Sure.
Yeah.
I have no idea who most of those people are, but
that's okay.
Fine.
They're TV war.
They are old school.
Very
old school.
But I love the idea of doing a ridiculous promo that makes us feel like shit.
I want to drive around.
The kid you're asking about is Jill Whalen, Vicky from The Love Boat.
Not Vicky from It's a Small World.
No,
Small Wonder.
Small Wonder, yeah.
Doc from The Love Boat, Bernie Capel. Who made his start on Hogan's Heroes.
By the way, you guys told me to watch The Offer.
Yeah.
Speaking of Hogan's Heroes, you and Mace were right.
Yeah, Al Ruddy.
Al Ruddy.
Who produced the original Godfather, one of the most successful movies of all time, if not the. Had his only experience before that was doing Hogan's Heroes. And the guy, the role in The Offer that is the one that you would want to play was the guy who played Robert Evans. That guy just killed it.
Should I watch that show?
Yes.
The Offer, you'll love
like,
it.
What is it about?
Did you like The Godfather?
No, but, well, I like The Godfather for reasons that I feel are a little deeper than a Paramount Plus series. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to figure out, like, what does it add to the experience of The Godfather? Chris?
Oh, somebody just says the S is not silent in De Plains, so it's Des Plains.
Oh, there went that bit. Yeah. On that note,
that bit ruined.
Mason in Ireland continues now.
Okay, coming up next. Is Game of Games. Is anybody in the afternoon show? Kaplan's here. Get him in here.
Kaplan, well, I think Lindsay was going to play.
I haven't seen Lindsay. She back?
Yeah, she's back. So
good.
Why we're going to have Lindsay play.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
We're also like 5 minutes early.
No, I don't care.
Okay.
It'd be more time to play the game. The Game of Games is weird because we started early. And the only people that have won Game of Games so far in the month are Laura Romo and Beto Duran. So no one from this show, from Mason Ireland, has won at Game of Games.
Let's go, Lindsay.
Yeah, well, Lindsay Clinton could screw this up. You know, there's a whole bunch of possibilities here. So that's coming up next. Game of Games, Mason in Ireland, not on the Lakers Radio Network. All right, it's Game of Games time, and as I mentioned, it's been a weird month already for Game of Games. The only two people who have scored in this month are Laura Romo and Beto Duran. And it could continue today with someone other than the cast of our show winning because Lindsay Fulton's here, and she's going to play, and she's very good at Game of Games.
That's right, I am.
Yeah. Lindsay, who, by the way, during the middle of the All-Star game, asked me to leave my seat and get her a pin little collective thing, but I did it.
I like it.
Yeah.
You're
welcome. Thank you.
That was nice of you. So Clinton's going to play, Jorge's going to play, and Bergman's going to play. Now, as we've been talking about for most of the show, today is the baseball trade deadline. So in honor of that, I have a game about the biggest players in sports history ever to be traded. I'll describe the player. As soon as you know the name of the player who was traded, buzz in. Your name is your buzzer.
There's no way I'm going to win this game.
I have seven of these.
Okay.
These are not all baseball players. These can be from any sport, but these are all names that you guys know. Okay?
Okay.
So here is player number one. This player was traded twice in his career. The final time he was traded, it was in exchange for Frank Brickowski, Peter Gudmundsson, and two draft picks.
Nope.
The team he was traded to was the Lakers.
Greg?
I don't know who those other people were.
His son, like him, is now an NBA world champion. Matter of fact, both the father and the son. Lindsay.
Michael Thompson?
Correct.
Okay.
Michael Thompson is the answer.
Well done.
Well done, Lindsay. Okay,
thanks.
She's on the board.
I'm really good at this.
Well, you were better than anyone else, I'll tell you that.
Greg and I are staring at each other with glass.
I don't know who those people were.
I have no clue who these guys are. Brickowski? That sounds like a fake name in Police Academy.
Okay. I know Brickowski. Yeah.
This player was traded 34 years ago, what turned out to be one of the most shocking trades in sports history. Greg.
Herschel Walker.
Incorrect. You're out. The reason it was shocking is that this player is indisputably the best player in his sport ever.
Oh, Yates.
Yates.
Gretzky.
Wayne Gretzky is the correct answer.
Well,
Clinton is on the board. Yeah, I didn't know that was coming up.
Right.
Okay, that's number two. Player number three. This player was involved in a trade that featured 18 players and draft picks. Among the players he was traded for were Jesse Solomon, David Howard, Isaac Holt, and Alex Stewart.
I don't even know.
It is considered the most one-sided trade in NFL history. Greg.
Herschel Walker.
Same
correct.
Yeah.
Herschel Walker.
Try it again.
You were just a little early, Bergman.
I was waiting for the pick.
Okay. So far, this game's close. Greg won, Lindsay won, Clinton won. Jorge, you alive out there?
Yeah, I'm working on something. Right? Swag won't work on this one.
Swag, yeah, you need.
I mean, you can guess, you can.
Yeah, you could. All right, this player has been traded four times in his career. He's still playing and is a first ballot Hall of Fame lock. The cities he has played in are New Orleans, Los Angeles, Houston, Oklahoma
Yates.
City, Clinton.
Chris Paul.
Chris Paul is correct, and Clinton takes the lead.
The
last one on that was he was once traded to the Lakers.
Did not make it to
only
Los
to
Angeles.
Have the trade vetoed by the commissioner later that day. All right. Question number five. This player was traded on February 1st, 2008. Unlike most of the players in his sport, he was not, or in this game I'm playing with you guys, he was not born in the United States. The player traded that day would appear in the next three NBA finals, winning two. What made this trade unique is that one of the players he was traded for that day was his younger brother.
Greg.
Greg.
Pau Gasol.
Pau Gasol is correct, and Bergman is tied Clinton.
Sorry, Jorge.
Two for Two for Bergman.
Jorge,
two
did you
for
know
Clinton.
It?
Did yeah. you know? Oh, was, come on,
he
Greg.
Was trying to, he was
Give
trying to get
chance.
It at the same time.
All right. You got two more chances, Jorge.
All right, let's do this.
All right.
Need them both.
You do. All right. This player was involved in what many consider to be the most successful trade in sports history. He was traded mostly for money. The team that traded him went on to win four titles with him in the lineup, while the team that traded him away would not win a title
Greg.
For the
yes.
next 86
oh,
years.
Greg.
Greg.
Yeah. Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth is right, and Bergman has yeah. taken the lead. All right.
Suddenly got instantly competitive, and I was like, dang it, I know that's fine.
All right, now this is the last one. So since Bergman and Yates.
It's more two or whatever?
No.
No, we
since Yates, you're the only one who can catch Bergman. Lindsay and Jorge are out. Jorge, nice effort.
Good job,
thanks.
Buddy.
Like Curtis today.
You did a Curtis. Okay. All right. So this is strictly between Greg and Clinton. And Clinton, you need it to okay. force a tiebreaker. All right. This player was traded in 1993 before going on to have a Hall of Fame career. The team that traded him already had his older brother on the roster, but the younger brother, Greg.
Pedro Martinez.
Pedro Martinez is nice. Correct, and Bergman
nice.
Is on the board.
Hey, that's
right. I am not nice, a Greg. Transaction guy, so that was a distant reach for me to even
Ramon
get that
Ramon Martinez
far.
Was the other guy. That
yeah,
guy.
No, I know. Ramon, yeah. Ramon was his brother. All right, I'll let you guys do the tiebreaker just for kicks. When Ish Smith was traded from the Wizards to the Nuggets last month, he broke the record for the most teams
Yates.
Any NBA player has ever played for. Closest without going over. How many teams has Ish Smith been on
11.
In his NBA career? Clinton's going with
Ooh, actually,
11.
I think it's
13. Okay.
Dang it.
Don't, you only get one guess.
I know.
You
I'm
only
just
get one guess.
All right.
I'm messing around.
God forbid.
We don't
the
do rules
around
help.
Here. Of game of games.
I'll let Jorge go last. Lindsay.
12.
All right. Bergman.
I think that's exactly what it is, but I'll say 13.
Jorge.
I'll say 10.
The correct answer, Greg Bergman again, 13.
Yeah.
The Nuggets are just, so there was no doubt Bergman was winning today. Very nice effort there, Greg.
Thank you very much.
Good job, Greg.
All right, Lindsay, can I ask you a somewhat serious question since you're here?
Sure.
As a female who grew up in Cleveland rooting for the Browns, how do you feel about six games?
I think that the NFL got it right.
You do?
Yes.
Because I thought it was light.
I don't think it's light.
Why not?
Because I think if you look at the 16-page explanation, I thought the judge laid it out very well as to her reasoning, and I thought it made sense to me.
Do you think most people in Cleveland, most women in Cleveland, agree with you?
Yes. I think most Browns fans do.
They're gonna cheer for this guy no matter what.
I think so.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something more important. If you were on a date with a dude, and you got out and went into the house, and you forgot your Uber, your phone in the Uber, would you complete the deal before you figured out where your phone was or not?
No, I would go back and get my phone.
But,
dang!
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm with Lindsay,
I must have
by
got
the
lucky
way.
Then here. Okay.
Yeah, I'm with Lindsay.
Yeah, 100%.
But wow.
Not going anywhere though.
No, by
phone.
The way, did she get her phone back?
Yeah, that was fine. That all worked out.
So how did she get her phone back?
I texted the phone.
And the guy looked at the phone.
Yeah, but this was the next day.
Okay.
So. Oh, wow.
So what did you
text?
What did you text?
I said, well, let's see. What did I text? Hold on.
And so
talk amongst yourselves.
No, the driver found the phone.
The driver
in the back
found
seat.
The phone. By the way, you playing You Don't Know My Name, Jorge, when I was talking about this was hilarious because I'm now realizing that this person's name is not in my phone. Anyway, here we go. I wrote, where is it? Here we go. I wrote, if you get this text, please text back. And I put my number. That's what I did.
And he did.
Yeah. Well, he texted the actual number because
yeah.
you can check that. On your own, in iMessage. So it ended up.
And he said, I have your phone. And, and then from
involved.
There, you just made arrangements
I wasn't
to get
even
it
involved.
Back to him.
No. That guy texted the same phone, and she could check her messages from her computer. So she handled
See,
it.
I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can check my messages.
You know, if you don't have a Mac.
I'm not a Mac guy.
You can go to iCloud.com, though.
Oh, really? You can do that?
It's just like same as you can log into your account and find my iPhone, too, which I had to do when I was camping because I couldn't find my phone.
Right.
So I had to log into my sister's phone and play the sound.
So you're not going anywhere without the phone?
No.
Wow.
Especially if you leave it in an Uber because they could drive off and you can never see it again.
Yeah, but, you know.
By the way, do we all agree that what do we think the NFL's going to do Are they going to just stand behind the judge's ruling and do six games? Or are they going? They have until Thursday morning. Do you think they'll add to it? Well, Lindsay, what do you think?
I don't think so, because I think that negates the entire process, and it makes.
I agree with you, by the way.
It makes Roger Goodell look like an idiot, because then he's basically saying, "Well, I'm going to appeal to myself."
No, it's not to himself though. Because
I know
the whole
it's not
reason
technically
is that they took the power away. This is kind of the first big one that he's had his power taken away from him in terms
right.
of
right. So, if to Lindsay's point, if he reverts back to usurp that power,
it wasn't
and says,
his idea though to take the power
but
away.
But he still agreed to it.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that it makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think there's any. I mean, listen, you can't just say we have all these processes and levers and then be mad when people try to exercise them. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point of the processes existing. You know, the theoretical whatever is one thing, but like the process is there for a purpose.
All right, so we're all going to this dinner, right? You're going tonight, Lynn's, right?
Yes, I'll be there.
Clinton, you're there. Yeah, Jorge, you going?
People are dressed like they're going to a dinner.
All right. I'm going to have to change shirts.
Well, I wasn't going to go in like my regular t-shirt and jeans.
Okay, so here's my question. At a big group outing like this, with like 30 people, there's someone that always talks too much and asks a bunch of stupid questions. Who is that going to be?
John Ireland.
No.
I'm joking, but I don't know.
It won't be.
Scott Kaplan.
I was just going to say it's got to be Cappy.
Well, hold Cappy on. What are we doing here, guys?
It's true. He's right
We have had a summer of fellowship and friendship where we've all grown together and partied together. I don't think this is going to be a problem at all.
It's not going to be a problem.
You don't
problem.
Think someone is going to try a major kiss-up and it won't be Cap?
First of all, Cap we can get to Caps Week later, but what I'm saying is that I think this is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
I do too.
I am blowing off a separate dinner with my other television friends to go to this, just
really?
So you know.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Wait, you have bigger names on the other line?
Yeah, I do.
It's us. We're the bigger names.
No, it's Gojo lives here now. Other people that are on other television networks are in town that are having drinks as we speak that I may or may not be going to meet up before.
Oh, so you're double dipping.
I might, but I don't know if I can get all the way to Manhattan Beach and back in time to do this. It's a whole thing. So got a lot going on in the schedule.
I go to Manhattan Beach at this time every day. I can tell you exactly when you're going to get there. After Crosstalk, if you leave, you'll get to Manhattan Beach at 5.
That's not bad.
All right, you can probably do an hour
and then get
with
back.
Your friends, and then it'll take an hour for you to get back here.
That's fine. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. I appreciate that, John. I feel bad for talking smack about you. All right. That's good. That's good to know. I just might do that.
All right. By the way, the trade deadline was today. The Dodgers didn't do much. Matter of fact, all they did was go out and get Joey Gallo. The biggest name that was traded was Juan Soto. He's going from the Nationals to the Padres. And they're also
along with Josh Bell.
Josh Bell, who's having a career year.
Monster year. That guy is a plenty everyday player at first base. No doubt about it.
And the Padres also added Josh Hader yesterday. So all of a sudden,
big deals in San Diego.
San Diego has a killer roster. I don't know if it'll manifest itself this year. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the Padres can, you know, they're 12 games back of
the
Dodgers.
Well, the Tatis situation, we don't know what that's going to be like. You know,
they've been saying all along they expect to get him back August or September.
I understand that, but the guy hasn't played baseball in 9 months. You know what I'm
right.
saying? So I don't know that that's going to translate to him walking back into the lineup and all of a sudden having crazy pop and being able to field the ball like he's doing it every day. You know what I mean? I think there's a rehab period, if you will,
right.
that's going to matter.
But if that team comes back healthy next year with all those players, they could give the Dodgers a run for their money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's get Supercross that going. Jorge, hit the stager. Scott Kaplan is here in studio. He's here for the big dinner tonight. George Sinano is joining us electronically, as we say. George, are you in health and safety protocols today?
I am. Kelly tested positive last night.
Does she have symptoms or
dagger.
No?
No, she just felt like she had a little bit of a head cold, but because we were going to take a trip, she was like, let me test. And then, of course, I heard her go to the bathroom, and I'm just like, all right, she's just probably going to the bathroom. And then all of a sudden, like 15 minutes later, after I doze off, I get the hit on my thigh. George, wake up. And I'm like, what? What's happened? And she's like, I tested positive for COVID. I'm like, you've got to be bleeping kidding me. It was my reaction.
So the trip is off?
Postponed, perhaps.
Yeah, bummer.
There's a lot of things in flux. So we ran and got PCRs, and you know the kids and I are all negative.
Good.
She's now isolating somewhere else. Her parents are away right now.
This is a daddy daycare situation.
Yes. Yeah. So what you're going to hear a screaming child run into this room.
Good.
This is going to be like, what was that guy, the BBC baby kid guy?
Yes.
Like that's going to be what's going to happen.
This is great. I say the more commotion in the Sedano household,
the better the show.
Right.
I'm going to have to walk away at one point and be like, I hear, you know, Mateo's going to be like, Dad, I pooped. Right. And then I'm going to have to go over there and do that, wipe his butt. I'm going to have to heat up some dinner.
Great radio. Right, baby wipes, yeah.
Now, wait, George, you were off last week. Did you get to go anywhere last week?
We did. We went to the Oregon coast and to Seattle.
Good. Good. So you got a little time. Vacation. There's somebody in the background.
Yeah, what's going on now?
Mateo, what's the problem, buddy? Here, come here. Talk on
Let's, what's chat Mateo, with Mateo. What's going on with Mateo?
What's the problem? Talk right here. What's the problem? It's the microphone.
What's that?
Hi, Mateo.
I want to go away.
You want to go away?
Where?
Okay,
where you want to go?
Want to get away?
Want to get away.
He wants him to go with him.
This is this may be a short-lived Sedano appearance.
Right.
Yeah.
You want Daddy to go with you?
All right, just check back
I'll
in, George,
back.
In a minute.
Yeah,
sounds
later.
Good. Sounds good. All right.
Exactly. That was great.
It's great. That All right, fantastic. See you guys later. I'm out of here.
Cap, so you're looking good. What did you go with as far as, you know, I know you like to dress it up for, you know, Live Imaging Tuesdays.
Right.
It's lit.
Right.
You went with a lighter blue check, sort of a gray blue. What's the color there?
Yeah, I feel like it's a little silvery blue whitish thing going on.
But you've got a two-tone pocket square, which is why I asked.
Two pocket squares.
Okay, so
it's double. Wow. Okay. Double pocket square today.
Up in the ante.
Yeah, right.
I like that.
Because it is Live Imaging Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I see Morales is walking around, no jacket on this afternoon.
Yeah, it's hot. It's
been
a rarity for him.
A little warm in here. It's nicer than control room. Nice and chilly. And here it's a little warm. You know, it's like there's so many lights in here, like we're next to the sun. But, you know, yeah, I gotta dress it up for Live Imaging Tuesday. And then tonight, the big dinner. Did I hear you're going to schlep home to turn
around? I'm not going home. I'm going to see my other, as television's Clinton Yates.
Right.
I have other television friends.
Yeah.
So when my television friends are in town and not on television, I like to hang out with them.
When you
I'm being completely smarmy for a reason.
Okay.
But yes, these people are my friends.
Who are the television friends? Are you going to tell us who they are?
Adam Amin is one of them.
Okay.
You know him from Fox Football and Baseball.
Okay.
And
great announcer, by the way.
One of the other one is Mike Golic Jr.
Mike Golic Jr.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are TV friends.
Yeah.
Do you have any friends?
I'm being facetious.
Yeah, but do you ever have any friends that you qualify differently? Like, hey, these are my radio friends.
Sort of, yeah. Yes, very much so.
Okay.
Yes,
because this doesn't always work out well for me, but I always mix worlds, which
depends.
Is not the smartest thing you can do.
It depends.
Between your TV friends and your radio friends?
Well, like, no, if I was out with you guys and I was supposed to go out with some other guys, I would just tell everybody to show
Same.
Up. And
That's
it,
fine.
It doesn't always
Same.
Work.
It
yeah.
depends.
Yeah. There can be chemistry issues in the locker room.
Yes.
There's no doubt. How about like your YouTube friends? You got any friends that you qualify as YouTube friends?
I do not
Nobody.
Have any friends.
No new media friends? These are my podcasting friends. No.
I don't have any podcasts. Right. That's a great question, actually. How would I break down the conferences of my friends? I need to think about it.
Okay, so
I learned
something interesting the other day about Cap. This is kind of inside baseball, but I think it's interesting.
Okay.
I don't know where this is going.
Cap, what is the station you're on in San Diego?
That is called ESPN 1090.
Okay, so if you're in a certain part of Southern California, you can hear you versus you, right? Like you're on
awesome.
1090 at the same time you're on 710, correct? If the planets have to line
you're
up.
You're breaking Cap's whole fourth wall here.
Yeah. Really.
No, but
it's bound to happen at some point.
So Cap, here's my question.
Yeah.
Yesterday you did the Rome show.
Yeah.
So did you still do your 1090
no.
show? Okay.
No.
So
how was that, by the way?
It was
so
fun.
Yesterday you were actually
phenomenal.
Yeah. Right.
You were on, but just at different times.
Yeah. So you know, here's a quick story for you. I think you'll appreciate this. You talk about inside baseball.
Yeah.
So I get in the car one day with my daughter, who's 15, and we turned on Howard Stern on Sirius. And my daughter, this is about 5 p.m. at night. She goes, "Dad, every time we get in the car, this guy's on the radio."
She didn't know he had a 24-hour channel.
Yeah.
Right. And so I explained to her, I said, by the way, this is the same child that when you're driving on the 5 in Orange County and you know that big building, the corporate headquarters for Taco Bell?
Right.
You know?
I've seen that building.
My daughter goes like this. She goes, "That's the biggest freaking Taco Bell I've ever seen."
Listen, honey. Right.
So here's what happens. So she says, "Why is this guy Stern on the radio all the time?" So I explained to her, he's on tape. You're not listening to him live right now.
Tis a recording.
So it occurred to me at the time, because this is now around like August of 2020, and I'm going to come work here at ESPN 710, but I got this station down in San Diego, so I thought, why don't I just follow that model?
Yeah.
So I take a podcast, and I put it on a radio station. By the way, the same podcast goes on a TV station as well. I mean, if you're in Santa Barbara, it's Channel 4. If you're in Palos Verdes, it's Channel 118.
I mean, listen, this is television Scott Kaplan.
Right,
let's
be real.
Even if it's
no,
local
I think
market,
it's great. Right. So if you're in the right geographic area, yeah, you could get you simultaneously, yeah, on two different channels.
And I can't believe how many people in the Sedano and Cap community, the circle of trust, will tell me that when we hit a commercial break, they'll go see what's going on over there.
Wow. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a it's a whole weird
Cappy
deal.
Taking by
the way,
over the world.
Well, like,
over
you
here.
Know what the funny part of it is on a day like today, though, I'm the middleman. You know, everybody from the 710 audience thinks I'm like this ringleader, cheerleader for the Padres. Mm-hmm. And everybody in San Diego thinks, why don't you get off the Dodgers bandwagon?
Yeah.
So, like, I'm kind of caught in the middle now between the 710 Dodger fans and the San Diego Padre fans.
Well, what do you think? I actually about my think idea? This was a very good day for the NL West. I think that it is going to be a. I mean. Last year, the Dodgers and the Giants went back and forth the whole year, and it was great. And they, yep, ended up meeting in the playoffs, and it went the full distance.
Yeah.
I think now the Padres are in the position that can challenge the Dodgers, and it's going to be great for both cities.
I have a question, though, for your appearance on Jim Rome. How many sided hats did you sell as you were pimping that thing for 3 hours?
Didn't sell any. Did you work a sided hat in there?
Oh my God. It was sitting right next to him.
Dude, that's called product placement.
Yeah.
So the funniest thing was, I tweeted in the community that he was selling, looked like he was selling sided hats. And then one of our listeners, Eric Herrera, said, he actually looks like a TV evangelist that says, if you send me $100, I'll make a miracle happen for you.
I'll get you some snake oil, exactly.
I had a bunch of the community, though, say, how do I get one of those hats? So literally, my son and I have been sending them to people.
Nice.
You know, they're like, yeah, here's my address. Send me. I'm like, okay, rock it. Post
it. How about, okay, so, John, you mentioned the Padres-Dodgers situation.
Yeah.
The next time the Dodgers go to San Diego, we might have to. Greg and I might have to drive down.
Yeah, we should do that.
Make a thing of it.
The shame of it is that this weekend the Padres and the Dodgers are here at Dodger Stadium.
Sunday night baseball.
Yeah,
matter of fact,
correct.
And the only thing that doesn't make this series, like, it's awesome, but it's at 99% awesome. The only thing that doesn't make it 100% is just the few injuries that are still out there.
Lingering.
You know, on the San Diego side, if they had Tatis back, then they're full strength. Let's see what they're all about.
Do you think Tatis is going to be full strength when he comes back? What is the scale of return on that? Because I feel like a rehab start is one thing for a pitcher. This guy's been out for a while.
Oh, dude, this guy.
Like, how long do you think it's going to take him to get back to form?
I think it's going to take a while.
Okay.
But yesterday they had him doing live batting practice.
He did BP? Okay.
Yeah, and he hit off of a Triple-A pitcher. And his first at-bat, he had six at-bats. First at-bat was a single. Second at-bat was a home run.
Oh.
So they're already talking
bat is still live.
Yeah, like he's coming back and he's going to be him. I don't know if he's going to. I wouldn't think so.
Right.
I mean,
Cappy, I've got an idea. Can we do a Sedano and Cap takeover at the Dodgers at the Padres games and one of those games in September?
Dude, we could absolutely do that.
Your boy.
That's a good idea,
Sedano,
George.
That's
a good
build, have you
George.
Ever been to Petco Park?
I have. It's beautiful.
It's spectacular.
Yeah, and I love the little thing in the left field, outfield for the kids to run around. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. My kids grew up there. They seriously did.
When I lived in San Diego, I had to go to the Murph. Remember that place, Cap?
Oh, my God. Murphy Stadium.
You know, that place was an eyesore.
Doesn't even exist.
But there
anymore.
You go. Cappy, I think we should do that.
It's
George,
gone.
I'm all in on this idea, George. I love
Sedano
this idea.
And Cap takeover. We bring all the Dodger fans out there. They're already there anyway. They get out there anyway. But
that's I'll show up for that.
It is a great idea.
Well, you know, Janice Garcia used to work with a traveling group of Dodger fans that would go everywhere. So she's got the names and the access to get to all those people.
If we could make sure everybody could just be on their best behavior that night, we could put together so many listeners from both parts.
Hold on. Is this you saying you don't want to mix your LA friends with your radio friends with your podcast?
Yeah,
Scott, he's like, listen, everybody.
Bringing this conversation full circle, this may be a case of not wanting to mix worlds.
Yeah, exactly. Really. You know? That'd be funny, though.
I don't know if you guys noticed, but when we did the softball game a couple weeks ago, there were probably 1,000 people wearing Dodger jerseys that day, right? There was one guy wearing a Padres brown jersey, and he's from Simi Valley.
Okay.
And he came in to see the game because he listens to both of those shows that we're talking about, and only one guy. So, yeah, I'm not so sure these are mixable.
If you could be on your best behavior, he had his hands in the air. Yeah, it's like when you bring your school kids.
Yeah, but I just think we do a little takeover. Why not?
I'm down.
Let's go.
I like that idea.
Can we find a place to do like a live podcast? And then we can run it back on the air later, you know?
It's a great idea. I've got the spot for
us. You've got people.
Yeah, no problem. I got this. This is, George, this is a brilliant concept out of you. When is that? Padres hosting
so
the Dodgers?
They do one in the middle of the week. That's tough. But I would say that they're the Dodgers go there in September 9th, 10th, and 11th, which is a weekend.
Yeah.
That's the first weekend of the NFL.
I was going to say, that's the day that the Chargers play the Raiders in week one.
Right, but the Friday works. Yeah. The Friday could work.
Can I get any credit for this idea of going down to San Diego to see Cap and do some Dodgers stuff? This would be great, George. I love this.
George, one scheduling conflict. The Friday that you're talking about is the 7-10 golf tournament.
Oh, right.
Oh.
So now, Thursday night's the Rams game.
Yeah.
Friday night or Friday afternoon.
This
is
like the first or second week of September.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Thursday night is the Rams game. We should do like a Rams thing.
Yes.
Like, we're not working.
That's not a bad idea.
Well, that's going to be a very tough ticket. That's Rams Bills. That might be one of the most expensive tickets of the year.
But could we?
Well, it might be one of the best games of the year. And it's the week. It's the first game.
Worth it. Happy about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love this idea, though, George. I really do.
Well, we could do the one later in the month that it's in the middle of the week.
When is that?
27th, 8th, and 9th. 27, 28, 29.
27, 28, 29 of September?
Yeah, last week of the season.
Okay, great.
Hey, by the way, Sonata, why do you think the NBA is, today was the Major League Baseball trade deadline.
Yeah.
Why hasn't the NBA traded anybody? I mean, other than Rudy
Kevin Durant,
that's held up
everything. Yeah, that's it.
So everyone's holding their power their powder for Durant?
But by the way, in about 2 days, we will have big NBA news one way or another. Because it's the day LeBron can sign the extension or not.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to, right? So he can.
Right,
but
if he doesn't, that's going to lead to massive speculation
by these people in this room. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it seems to me though that if I'm LeBron, I'm in no hurry to do anything. I want to wait and see what's happening because I can always sign the thing in 2 weeks, right?
You could, but I believe it has to be signed before the season starts.
Okay.
So
he's going to have a little bit of time to
There's a few weeks there that he can make that happen, or a couple, almost 2 months, basically. But, there's going to be a lot of speculation. So August 4th is that first day, and it's going to be like, so what's going to happen,
So what's interesting is the NBA schedule always comes out normally in the first 10 days of August.
Mm-hmm. This year, I don't believe it.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say, George. I wonder if they'll hold it, because if you're the NBA, how many times do you put Brooklyn on TV right now?
Right.
You don't know what they're going to look like. Right. What do you do with the Lakers? What do you do with, I mean...
Well, the Lakers will still be on Christmas, but Brooklyn, to me, is the big... Right, it's the huge... that's
domino.
The team you're like wondering what's going to happen in that scenario.
Yeah, they're definitely the domino in that. They're trying to figure out what's going to fall.
Right, because you want Kevin Durant on Christmas and, all the big holidays, right? Martin Luther King Jr. Day, you want him to play in prime time somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that all those days, you want him to be available and ready to roll. So,
all right, George, before we hand off here, I got to ask Clinton Yates, because
what's
Clinton,
up?
while George was out, you had decided on the air to sign up for a dating app.
Oh.
And can you give us an update as to how your dating life has been impacted?
Been on a couple dates.
Come on,
are you free to share what app it is, or would you rather not?
No, it's fine. Okay. Bumble is where we are.
Yeah. Bergman was on Bumble for a while.
Bumble? Explain the protocols of Bumble to me.
Bumble is where the women pick.
Okay, got it.
I did not do Hinge because that was a little too complicated. It was explained to me as like filling out a college application, which didn't like college like that, so we're not doing that. And I didn't want to do Tinder because Tinder felt a little too ratchet, if you will,
as
what my goals were. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not out here in the street like that, but I didn't need to be involved in Tinder, so I wanted to do it. So, yeah, it's going well. I went on a date to the Real Madrid game.
I heard about this.
Yes,
ooh.
You were listening.
Juventus.
How about she didn't show up till halftime? Which was a dagger. But it was okay because I simply told her, I was like, here's the problem with showing up at halftime. Now it means we have to stay close to the end.
Right.
My move is normally show up before, watch a half, give me a lap, we're out of here. You know what I'm saying? We can watch the end of the game somewhere else, especially if it's a game we do not care about, which, hello, Champions Cup, I do not care about. I simply wanted to see 90,000 people in the Rose Bowl. George, we ended up walking on our feet to downtown Pasadena. But it worked out well because some listeners were there, and they gave your boy some props. She was impressed, and things went well. So that was that.
Yeah.
All right.
Old Town Pasadena is a blast, I think.
Okay, Brian Kamenetsky is going to come in and help out. George is going to hang in for as long as he can, depending on
I'll be in and out. I'll have to cook dinner in between.
Yeah. He's parenting. Kelly is down for the count, and George is in charge of the Sedano house, so that could be great radio.
Yeah.
It's all coming up next. Sedano and Cap, ESPN LA.